Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Know what wisdom we can add to J.J. Watt's hand? He says it's fine, he'll play. So I don't know how it'll affect him, but if he's not 100%, they got no shot.
I definitely think that this is a problem. I also know that he'll tough it out because he's J.J. Watt. If he missed a game because of a broken hand, he's a tough dude. Nobody's going to question his toughness, but I'm not surprised that he's playing, but I can't imagine he's going to be playing at 100%. Since they did not get Sonny Cumbie, the Texas Longhorns have gone elsewhere, and they hired an offensive coordinator today. Sterling Gilbert, who is considered one of the brightest offensive minds in football. He's been under Philip Montgomery at Tulsa, obviously. He's the co-offensive coordinator at Tulsa, for those of you who don't know the name.
That just seems weird to me. You're Texas, and you can't get somebody other than Tulsa's offensive coordinator.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780, ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you are good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. If you missed the first 2 hours, that's some of the stuff you missed. A lot of other stuff as well. And somebody sent me this, but a Kelly Hines, who is the University of Tulsa football and basketball beat writer for the Tulsa World, says, I'm told the report that Sterling Gilbert has accepted the OC job is false. Says, for what it's worth, Philip Montgomery said today has been constantly up. That was 32 minutes ago he tweeted that out. 20 minutes ago, says, for what it's worth, Philip Montgomery said today is being constantly updated by Gilbert on the Texas situation. And Football Scoop says Texas has not presented an offer to him yet.
Okay.
So I know we were getting reports that they had, but.
Well, I'm trying to look through my Twitter feed and see if anybody I trust has announced it as official.
Yeah, you need to check on Chip Brown because that's your guy.
Don't follow him. I'm looking for someone reliable and credible.
Yeah. So.
Oh, here, from Chip Brown, Texas will, with 100% certainty, join the Pac-16 next year.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's from several years ago. Never mind that. Here's Chip Brown. Vince Young will definitely return for senior year.
Oh, okay.
That's old, too. Okay. Mm. I'll try someone else.
Probably a good idea. So, I don't know, because I don't know who Kelly Hines is, other than that's the University of Tulsa football and basketball beat writer for the Tulsa World. And somebody texted me that update. So I felt it important to share it. So we'll see what happens. Maybe that's their guy. Maybe not. But I'm a dick for daring question the guy, apparently. All right. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. We will have our good buddy Willie B on next segment. So, there's some gambling questions. We'll probably have them. Another thing ESPN did this week, which for some reason I rarely find things on ESPN.com anymore that I like that aren't part of Insider, but they did a basic late season prediction for all 32 of their NFL teams.
Okay.
If you pick a team, I will tell you their prediction, but keep in mind I have to scroll, so. We'll start with your Texans. How's that?
Okay, that's a good idea.
This is before J.J. Watt's hand was injured. Said he will notch at least 6.5 sacks in his final 4 games, making an unprecedented third season with at least 20 sacks.
Okay.
That's their prediction.
That seems unlikely now, but
I will take the under.
Yeah.
That's from Tanya Ganguly, by the way. But I will take the under.
That's her prediction?
Yeah, 6.5 sacks.
Okay.
You
think he's going to win Defensive Player of the Year again?
As of today, no, but there's 4 games left. And
if he got 6.5 more sacks, I would say yes.
If he gets 6.5 sacks, yes. And, yeah, how about your Bills? Here's a prediction from Mike Rodak.
Okay.
I don't think you want to hear this.
Okay, that's all right.
The Bills will miss the playoffs for a 16th consecutive season.
That's not surprising to me.
that's a prediction for them. Anybody else you want to know about?
How about Vaquero de Dallas?
Vaquero de Dallas. Thank you for making me have to scroll all the way down. That's okay. A Cowboys cornerback will have an interception this season. They have not had a pick in the past 501 passes thrown by opposing quarterbacks. Brandon Carr hasn't had an interception since Thanksgiving of 2013. Morris Claiborne hasn't had a pick in his past 11 games. The most recent corner with an interception was Orlando Scandrick in Week 14 last year against the Bears. Of course, he's out for the year with a knee injury. So that's their prediction for the Cowboys. That's actually pretty good from Todd Archer. Anyone else?
How about the Colts?
So I just did like the AFC South, and then you made me go down to the Cowboys, and now I got to go back to the AFC South.
Sorry. You really have to use your find function on your computer. You got to figure that out.
No, I just whenever.
It'll pull you right to it.
Yeah. Anyway, running back Frank Gore's streak of 1,000-yard rushing seasons will come to an end. That's a weak one. He's rushed for 702 yards. He's averaged 74.5 in their final four contests to extend his streak. That's Mike Wells' prediction.
You think that's true?
Yeah, I think that's true. That's kind of weak. I would have expected something a little more interesting.
Who else is like maybe potential playoff teams that we're kind of maybe about?
You want to hear the Jaguars one just for grins?
Sure.
Blake Bortles will have the greatest season by a quarterback in Jaguars history. He already owns the record with 27 touchdown passes.
You know what?
And is on pace to throw for 4,365 yards. That's 2 yards shy of Mark Brunell's record of 4,367 and 96.
That's reasonable.
I'm guessing.
Didn't they go to the playoffs that year?
Yeah, and I don't think Brunell had the turnovers that Bortles has had, which I think mitigates it a little bit. But anyway, that's not a terrible one. How about this for your Raiders?
Raiders.
Since you love Derek Carr. He will not throw more than 3 interceptions in the team's final 4 games. From Bill Williamson.
That's ballsy.
Yeah. Just a couple for grins, because I know there's Saints fans out there. The Saints will finish at 6-10, their worst record in the Sean Payton, Drew Brees era. Says it's possible they could rally and finish 7-9 for the fourth time in a 10-year span. But they're saying worst record ever for them. For your Falcons, Julio Jones will fall about 100 yards shy of Calvin Johnson's NFL single-season record of 1,964 receiving yards.
Thanks a lot, Matt Ryan.
But he will break Marvin Harrison's single-season reception record by averaging 10.5 catches per game over the last 4. That seems a lot, too.
What's crazy is if the Falcons didn't suck, Julio Jones would be in the MVP conversation because he's having a cartoonish year. But the Falcons suck, so that's not going to happen.
Well, it's his quarterback turns the ball over in the
red
zone.
Exactly. Throws it to the other team too often.
Here's your Seahawks.
My Seahawks.
Your Seahawks. I'm picking out the teams I know you love.
Are you going to do the Ravens next?
Yeah, Ravens next.
Okay.
Russell Wilson will finish the season as the NFL's highest-rated passer. He's currently third behind Andy Dalton and Carson Palmer.
I didn't tell you. I lost out in that league that I because, again, 2 weeks in a row I played Eli Manning over Russell Wilson. And if I'd won either one of those games, I'd be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That was one of the 2 leagues that I play. I play in 9 fantasy leagues. That's 2 of the leagues that I missed. The only 2 I've missed the playoffs in. And that's one of them.
Okay. Here's one for you for the Carolina Panthers. Quarterback Cam Newton will win the MVP after helping the Panthers complete an undefeated regular season. From David Newton.
Is that Cam's dad?
I don't know.
Okay.
Brother, cousin, uncle. Same last name, so.
They've got to be related.
I'm sure they're related somehow.
Okay.
And finally, your Ravens. The Ravens will match the franchise's worst record at 4-12 by losing their final 4 games of the season. They play Seattle, Kansas City, Pittsburgh, and Cincinnati.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Boy, they're in bad shape.
So, there's some predictions for you from ESPN. Grab a quick phone call before we do that. Jude.
Sure.
Let's get Jude on.
Hey, Jude.
Sports, guys.
Sports to you.
My question is about the Warriors. Every time someone talks about their streak, they're going to win. Everyone talks about their streak. They're always talking about dating back to last year. To beat the Lakers record, that would all count as this year's, right? It wouldn't have to go towards anything of last year.
I don't know. I guess it depends on who's been talking about the streak. I don't consider from last year going into this year. I don't like that. I don't like keeping track of those numbers. I like, just like with DiMaggio's hit streak, it all has to be in 1 year, I feel like. Every time they have someone who oh, well, he got a base hit in the last 14 games of last year and the first 20 of this year. I'm like, I don't care about that. It's got to be all in one season because it's a different squad. You know what I mean? Even if there's just one or two guys different, it's a different team.
I agree.
Oh, thank you. Boy, they are good.
They are, and I don't know when they're going to lose. It's getting silly now, and I'm enjoying the fact, as much as I don't really like them, even though they're fun to watch, I should. I'm kind of glad they keep winning. It makes it interesting.
It's a little bit different for me because last year, and you can vouch for me, I predicted the Warriors would be here. I didn't think they'd be 23-0.
Yeah, stop. Nobody predicted 23-0. Get out of here.
But I predicted that the Warriors would win the title last year, and everybody was giving me grief. Now, it's just generally accepted that they're better than everybody. There's no one who's given me grief about jock riding the Warriors. Like everybody kind of accepts it now. They're really good. This is a way different start to the season for me than last year when I was like, guys, the Warriors, this team is great. It was like, oh, Steph Curry's a bleep, 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 bleep. Now everybody's just kind of like, well, kind of playing for second place. People are accepting it. They're accepting their fate.
It just makes it acceptable that you get to jock them now, basically.
Ah, okay.
That's all it is. All right, tell people
works
about
works for me.
Well, what happens, though, if you do have blood in your place?
Of course, you would call dirt free.
Hello, friends. My name is Wooly B. I've been around sports betting since the age of three.
And we are back on the Blitz. And we know what that song means. It's time for Wooly B. That side of the bacon.com. What's up, Wooly? Wooly?
Hey, you know what? This has been such a streaky year. I mean, I go cold, then I get hot for two straight weeks and go 18-2. And then I come back last week and give everybody Green Bay, and we get a miracle. Then we go BG and get a win, and then I go 2-8 because I love being transparent and I love being honest. So what happens when the Wooly has a losing weekend, guys? The next weekend, what do?
Hopefully we win.
Hopefully we win. We just toasted to a winning weekend. I was with a couple buddies. It's always said winning weekend. That's for Fat Side. That's for Fred and AJ and Katy High School and Albany and Ridge Point and everybody. Winning weekend, WW, let's go.
All right. Well, let's start with this game tonight because this line has gotten a little bit silly. It started at 8. It got up to 11 at one point. I'm seeing 10 now. I don't remember the last time I saw an 8-4 team getting 10 points. I know the Cardinals' power rankings come out higher than everybody else, but is there anything on this game at all that points either way to you?
Yeah, you know, it's a Wooly rule. It's a team that loses. If you remember Fred and AJ, you've heard this a couple times. The team that loses by 28 points or more the previous week, and that was one of our losses last week, Minnesota Dad coming home against Seattle. So we're going to stick with them, and I like the extra juice. I think it's some must juice. Hey, if you look at what Arizona's done even at home the last couple games, didn't just dominate the Ravens. Bottom line is, what you just said is true. AJ, how long have you been saying all year, I'm going to buy low and I'm going to sell high just
absolutely
on the stuff going on? This fits exactly
yep
what you've been looking at all year. So let's take the Vikings 10.5, and I think it goes down to the wire.
Yeah, this is weird. And the reason why I think the steam has pushed Arizona to where it is because Minnesota has some injury problems on the defensive side.
I agree.
I don't know if that's enough to get the number all the way up to where it is, though. It's starting to get a little bit silly.
No. And again, I know it's not the double-digit division dog and whatnot, but double digits, if we went back and, you know, and all these trends and algorithms and everything else, let's put 8-4 teams in getting double digits through the years for the last 30 years. I think we might be on top. So, yeah, let's take Minnesota plus the point and hope it's not a sucker bet.
Well, let me ask you about the other two that I'm looking at on that buy low, sell high. I like the Falcons this weekend, and I like the Raiders. What say you?
Let's talk about the very first game. There are some very good percentages that I dug into this week. On one being the team that's undefeated going into December. We've only had a handful of them over the last 30 years. Now, in the short term, they do very bad against the number. But that team usually gets to the Super Bowl and a lot of time wins the Super Bowl. Hello, Carolina Panthers. Now, the other team that whoever has the best against the spread record going into December, you can pound against them over the last 30 years, win 66-67% of the time. Hello, Cincinnati Bengals. So, just say it straight out. I want people to make money this weekend, even if you just use this weekend. We're going to have some other plays out there, but obviously we don't have any other college. So, to answer your question, Carolina Panthers, 12-0, we're going to play against. Let's take Atlanta plus the points. It's a division foe, up and down, but we'll take that touchdown against Carolina, and we're going to go against. I don't have my whistle, John. Do you have it? We're going to go. My favorite play of the weekend, Pittsburgh Steelers plus 3. They're going to win straight out against the Bengals. Thank you very much.
Wow. Okay. Well, get back to the Falcons game. My gut tells me that's the way to go, but this team has bit me over and treated me like a prisoner in the shower for the last month, so I'm totally out on the Falcons. But I'm kind of with you on that. Another double-digit division dog. You got the Chargers plus 10 at the Chiefs. Is that a game you're looking at as well?
Man, I tell you, I think I've been kicked down in the lower region way too much on the Chargers here, Fred.
It's like me with the Falcons.
Yeah. You know, you get a team you're good with all year, and even though I didn't put it out on Fat Side, I actually played Dallas against Washington this week, and the Redskins have made us so much money at home. I say, no, not yet, not this week. Sure enough, it's just the way that line drifted down to 3. So, yeah, my kryptonite's been the Chargers, your kryptonite's the Falcons. I don't know what to do there. So if the Fat Side's not going to put the Chargers out, and we're not going to, they're probably a play this week against the Chiefs. Not going to do it. So, like it, don't love it. Yeah, it's double-digit division dog. You're supposed to take the Chargers, but not going to put it out as a play because I'm focusing on about 3 or 4 games, and obviously I've let you know that Pittsburgh and Atlanta are 2-0.
Well, if you guys are both scared of your kryptonite for this year, I'll give you mine, and I've lost on them damn near every time I've played them this year. But the New York Giants, I'm looking at them again against the Dolphins, who I hate the Dolphins right now. I'm seeing -1.5. I keep thinking the Giants are going to eventually have something go their way in the fourth quarter, although I may be stupid for thinking that. But what do you think about that Giants-Dolphins game?
Perfect segue, AJ. You know, when I've talked about baskets this year, we've always done well, and I love when games are staggered because I'll say, well, one's going to get there, and someone will always look at me and say, well, which one? I said, well, they're staggered. So we play one. If it doesn't get there, I'll double up on the next. I said, well, that's chasing. No, it's not chasing. I'm playing the percentages. So it's kind of a segue for our own Houston Texans. 70% of America is playing the Patriots over the Texans. 70% of America is playing the Giants over the Dolphins. Holy cow. We get to play our Texans. You got to reach down there and hold them tight. Got to play the Texans plus 3 Sunday night. Oof. Now, I really think it's going to be one favorite and one dog. So you got to stick to your guns. If you're going to play favorites, you play Patriots, then you play Giants. If you're going to play dogs, you play Texans, then you play Dolphins. That's how Wooly B is going to treat Sunday and Monday Night Football.
Willie, you got any specials going on for the people? And do you have specific rules for bowl games?
Great. I'm so glad you said that. A fellow Ags told me this about 10 years ago. In those first 10 bowl games, it might ring a bell for you, those first 10 bowl games, because of the lower-ranked games and the defenses aren't as good, we play first-quarter overs. First-quarter overs in those first 10 bowl games usually comes out to 6-4, 7-3, 8-2. First quarter overs in those first 10 bowl games. When you see double digits, you play the favorite. That usually comes out about 55-60%. So the double digits, you're supposed to play the favorite. So early on, especially play the favorite. As you get deeper into the games, though, and the competition's better, obviously you start looking the other way. And I know I'll be back on and we'll talk about more about the semifinals and some of the other bowls. So just a few bowl things to think about. First quarter overs, first 10 games. Play the double digits, especially early. 249 still. Actually, you know what? Go find a smaller number. We're getting too much into December. Go find a smaller number. I'm going to tell the IT people, let it go through. I don't care if it's 99, 125, whatever. Hit the button, fatsidethebacon.com, all the way through the Super Bowl, fatsidethebacon.com, and you get all our plays for the rest of the year.
All right, that's Willie B, fatsideofthebacon.com. Willie, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate the time. Look forward to talking to you again next week.
Guys, appreciate it. Appreciate the time. Merry Christmas, the best time of the year. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Yes, sir.
Double Down says, your description of the Falcons made me miss Sons of Anarchy. Yeah, the Falcons have been Marilyn Manson and I've been Juice. Mm-hmm. And they haven't even read poetry to me. That's how I feel about the Falcons. So now's the time to get on them because I'm out of that cell.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've moved down the road to another cell.
I mean, listen, it's what I keep saying is when these – when I look at – and it's been – the buy low, sell highs worked for me this year. It's gotten me out of the hole I was in the NFL. I was struggling to have a good year in the NFL. And since I started doing that about week 7 or 8, it's actually helped me quite a bit. But there's a lot of the times it comes up that you're like, oh, I do not want to bet on that team. But you do it, you hold your breath and you do it, and more often than not, it's been working because these numbers are moving so much week to week, more than it should be. And we talk about that in the book about, you know, paying attention to how lines move week to week and what it would have been a week before. And the lines are moving a lot this year, week to week. All right, guys.
And before you do that, you can get that great book at podcastarena.com or go to Gow Media Publishing. Either
That's
one.
Right.
And only $12.99, and there's a gift card option so you can give it to your friends. And if they need to learn something, send it to them.
We should have made like a special edition, like where the whole book is read by David Philpott and charged double for it.
Except they wouldn't really learn anything. It would just be funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People like to laugh, dude.
Yeah, well, maybe that's what we'll do. Maybe we'll do a deluxe edition.
I mean, Weird Al Yankovic sells records. It's not like he's making good music. He's just copying other people's music and making it funny.
All right, we come back. Our Iowa guy's on the line, so we have to go to him. So,
all right.
We'll as soon as we return from break, Iowa guy.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. John, you're not playing this because of Iowa guy, are you?
No.
Okay, because that would have been fairly clever. Usually you're very clever about this, so I just assumed you were. All right, let's go to Iowa guy. Can't wait. What's up, buddy?
Sports guys.
Sports to you, good sir.
You know, AJ, you did say about, first of all, the Indiana thing. Sometimes when you're on the radio, you'd get flustered and you didn't know what you went off of Indiana. I wasn't really trying to say they're the best. They're doing a lot better. But you did say that you didn't think anybody would call if we got beaten by Nebraska. And I wanted to call anyway, but I didn't. But you know, after the Michigan State game, I have no problem, you know, saying we got more respect out of one loss than we had in 12 wins. And so, you know, I'll take that.
I agree with that because they finally played someone worth a damn.
Yeah, right.
And they hung with them. I mean, I'll give credit where it's due. Iowa played them tough, although that seems to be Michigan State's MO as well, is to let every opponent hang around until the last minute, and they've won most of them, lost the Nebraska game, which is embarrassing. But yeah, Iowa hung in there with them, gave them a good game. Do you expect to see Iowa perform well against Stanford?
Well, you know, I wanted to, first of all, when you guys were doing when 713 came in, I wish there was a video in the car because I felt like a mini celebrity, probably closer to Tom Arnold than Ashton Kutcher. But anyway, I really think we're going to handle them. I mean, you know, I was watching On Scout or reading a lot of that, and a lot of the Hawkeyes are, you know, pretty upset and, you know, that they didn't finish it. And I think they're just going to, you know, go after Stanford. I would like to bet Fred off the phone if I could, but.
I have a guy. Sorry, man.
What's that?
I have a guy that I go through. I don't bet with listeners.
Yeah, no, I know.
I haven't actually run my numbers or yet on anything on the bowl games because there's a different. I use a different system for bowls because you've probably heard me say some of these games mean a lot to a team, some of them mean nothing. The Rose Bowl's a little different. It's going to mean a lot to both teams. It always does. But I would say the one thing I would say about Iowa that I really started picking up on the last month of the season is just how good their offensive line played together. And that was the reason they were winning football games is those guys block in run blocking and pass blocking as well as anybody in the country. I don't think they have the best players necessarily, but scheme-wise and the way they played, they blocked as well as anybody in the country. So I.
Hey, real quick, who's your guest at the U of H Raider guy?
Stanford Route.
Yeah, and I definitely won't bash your guest, but I like how you said, would you rather play, they were thinking about playing Iowa, of course you wouldn't get any respect, and that's where the car video would have come in real good. I was just like, what? And then he was like, yeah, none of the Hawkeyes will be playing on Sunday. Man, we got two O-line guys will be playing pro next year. We got Drew Ott, our best defensive player that, you know, got hurt out for the season with Achilles. He's trying to get a fifth year, but I doubt they'll let him. He's played a lot of games. But we have probably 6 to 8 guys going pro, and I know I'm not Mel, but I'll let the those guys do it, and then we'll be back on the phone. But, yeah, he couldn't be more wrong about Iowa. And if you don't know about many Iowa players, you probably shouldn't say none of them are going to play on Sundays. But anyway, he's a great guy.
Well, of course.
Well, he's also a defensive back, so and let's face it, the Iowa players that make it in the NFL are 90% of them are offensive linemen. Gallery, Belaga come to mind. Riley Reef. What's
I know you're not too happy with who's on the Texans from Iowa.
Well, yeah. I never liked him though. I've been consistent about that guy from the beginning that there was no way I would have used a 3rd round pick on him, but not because he went to Iowa, just because he can't play. That's all.
Yeah. Hey, I just want to end with you guys are definitely like a beer. You're an acquired taste. I have a lot of time on, 290 has made me able to listen to you a lot longer than I want, no offense. But, I've been listening for about 6 months, and you guys, just do a great show. At first, it was just, I hope 713's listening. I'll be back.
All right, man. Thank you.
All right, man. Thanks for calling, and appreciate you not taking things personally and kind of getting what the show's about. So,
And I also appreciate him understanding that C.J. Fedorowicz is not.
Yeah, he's garbage.
Yeah, I wasn't going to go that
far. I'll go that far. The guy's garbage as a 3rd round pick. But I said that when they drafted him, and I'm not changing my mind on it. Let's squeeze on Billy real quick before we go to break. What's up, Billy?
Hey, sports guys.
Sports to you.
Hey, I'm trying to figure out this whole deal with the bowl system. Being that the Texas Longhorns, the University of Texas Longhorns, were 5-7, which this year they increased the bowl capacity and they got snubbed on a bowl selection. And I just kind of wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that. I thought that the wins at Baylor and the win against Oklahoma would certainly put them in.
Well, they didn't get snubbed because they actually came up with a system for how they were going to pick the 5-7 teams. And it was based on those APR numbers. And
which
Texas,
it pisses me off that there's even 5-7 teams getting bowl
but
games.
But if you're going to have 5-7 teams in there, you should just let the bowls take whoever they want because obviously you'd rather have Texas than some of these teams.
Right.
But no, it's based on the percentage of.
It's on some algorithm. Yeah. I mean, yeah, so there's not a snub because the system was in place before. So there's. It is what it is.
Yeah, and so basically it came down to the teams that...
They would have been on some crappy bowl game anyway.
It still would have been... I still think a bowl is better than no bowl just because you get another month of practice with those kids, and just from a standpoint of trying to improve your team for next year, it would have been good. And Texas fans would still go. I mean, they're getting a little frustrated, but they're still going to go to a bowl game.
Maybe, depending on where it is.
I don't know. I don't know if they're
I know that the Heart of Dallas Bowl was hoping that it could be Texas and Southern Miss because it's a way to sell out your game. But listen, man, I mean, Texas, they haven't even really been selling out their games at home.
Yeah.
You know?
But sometimes you just want to get out of the house and get away from the family and go somewhere and drink beer and watch football.
Yep. Hey, by the way, quick non-sportsy note. We talked about this earlier in the week, but HBO has decided to bring back The Leftovers for a 3rd and final season.
They'll probably do it without me.
So next season will be the last season of it.
I hope they all die. I went back and watched both that and Fargo again just to see if my opinion would change.
Mm-hmm.
And I wound up hating the leftovers even more than I did the night it happened. And Fargo, I still can't figure out what that, because that was on its way to being the greatest episode maybe of any show this year, with the exception of the season ender of Game of Thrones. Actually, yeah. And I still can't figure out the freaking UFO.
It came out of nowhere.
Yeah, I have no idea what they were trying to do there. And we've been debating it on Twitter ever since. And it I just don't get it. But to me, the leftovers, really the episode you loved, which was basically stolen directly from The Sopranos, from then on, it really lost me, the last three episodes.
I liked it. But I thought they did a good job with it. And critically, it's been acclaimed. We talked about the ratings have kind of gone south from last year, and a lot of that has to do with lead-in. But I don't know what HBO has that they could potentially put in to lead it in. So it's going to have to stand on its own. And, you know, the numbers don't lie. You know, there can be a bunch of you know, TV critics who love it, but if people aren't watching, shows won't last. Yeah. But I am glad they're going to give it one more year.
Yeah, I'll probably watch the first couple, and if I don't like them, I'll eject. Salvatore said that was maybe the best call he's heard on our show from someone not famous. Well, I think Iowa Guy is now famous.
Maybe
we've made Iowa Guy famous.
Maybe so.
But that was a fun call.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
ESPN 97.5 brings back the Christmas sports stocking beginning Monday, December 14th. We'll give away one stocking each day that is filled with prizes. We've got Grand Lux Cafe, Top Brass Military and Tactical, and Tin Roof Barbecue just for starters. Keep them for yourself or use them to complete your shopping list. Listen to The Blitz for your chance to win. Also tonight at 7, the HD show with Fred Davis and Henry Thomas. And a couple of the texts are saying we should get hashtag Iowa Guy going. I could see that.
Maybe so.
All right. You have Hoffman on Hollywood?
I do, although we did talk about, I guess that was for last week, huh? We talked about doing the whole thing on Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Well, we did get into that yesterday, but I think there's more to do on it.
I think so, too.
I don't think we're necessarily done with that.
So maybe next Thursday we'll really, you know, dig into it.
Once we find out who's actually in. I would just say you and I were in surprising agreement on who should be in.
I was surprised at that, too, because usually we differ greatly on things, and this time was...
And now, some of those, as I was saying yesterday, are not my genres.
Right.
But I respect what they accomplished, like NWA, for instance. I respect the accomplishment. That should be in there. That should be rewarded if we're going to consider that rock.
Okay.
So, yes. And anyway, that's all.
We'll discuss, like we said, discuss it more.
We can do more next week.
On Thursday. Ed Sheeran, who we've heard Jung sing before, has revealed that he is set to undergo an operation to repair a burst eardrum.
Ugh.
Singer-songwriter, which, by the way, I mean, if you're you make music for a living, that's a pretty terrible injury to have.
Plus, you got to fly all over the place, and you don't, yeah.
Suffered the accident while jumping off a yacht in Spain earlier this year, which...
Okay, you know what?
What a rough life.
Yeah, I suddenly don't feel sorry for you anymore.
He is due to conclude his world tour in New Zealand this week before he undergoes a graft to repair his ruptured eardrum in the new year. I said I have to have an operation in January on my ear because I stupidly jumped off a yacht really high up and smashed it. I landed wrong and it burst my eardrum, so I have to go and get a graft, which means I'm not allowed to fly for a while. So it's kind of good. It means I have to stay at home for a little while. I didn't realize what happened until I went in the water again, and it's the most painful thing, having a hole in your eardrum and having water go in. I said he decided to rent a boat on the last day of their holiday in a shared house. So I guess it wasn't his yacht.
Still.
But, that's a tough break.
No, it's not. You're jumping off of yachts. You get what you deserve.
I read this. The Wu-Tang Clan did their Once Upon a Time in Shaolin album, which was a one-of-a-kind album that's not going to be available for commercial consumption for at least another 88 years. So we'll never hear it. Though the purchase was finalized months ago, we didn't learn the identity of the buyer until this week. That buyer is Martin Shkreli, who the guy who upped the price on the AIDS drug. You remember that guy from a little while back?
Yeah.
Everybody hated him.
Yeah.
Right. Well.
That extra money.
Yeah. I mean, he had some extra dough. But apparently part of the deal is may legally plan an attempt to execute one heist or caper to steal back Once Upon a Time in Shaolin, which, if successful, would return all ownership rights to the seller. Said heist or caper can only be undertaken by currently active members of the Wu-Tang Clan and or actor Bill Murray with no legal repercussions. So someone from the Wu-Tang Clan could try to steal the album back. They get full control if they do. And Bill Murray is also legally allowed to try to steal this album.
I have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
Fine.
No, I really don't. I mean, steal the album? What are you talking about?
There was only one copy of this album made.
Right.
This guy bought it. And there, in the contract...
It's like Bill Murray's allowed to break into his house and
steal
it?
Bill Murray is allowed to steal it without fear of justice.
Okay, I'm still...
You're out on that.
Yeah, sorry.
All right, well, that's fine. That's fine. And the last one, I don't know how much... You know what? I don't even want to do this story because I'm so sick of talking about Star Wars. I don't even want to talk about this Star Wars story. It's kind of lame anyway.
All right.
Whatever.
Okay.
Are you over Star Wars? Or do you even want to see it now?
I want to see it, but I'm not going to be... I'm going to go once the crowds start thinning out. So probably 2 weeks in. Although, we do...
It's going to be like Krispy Kreme.
Yeah, I'm
it's
not
be crazy for the first couple.
Well,
weeks.
I'm not going when I don't really like Krispy Kreme, but I'm not going when everybody else is. I'm going to wait until it's slowed down. But Christmas Day, it's kind of a tradition. We always go to a movie. I'm really hoping Hateful Eight opens here.
Oh, Hateful Eight! I can't wait,
because that I would probably go to a crowded theater.
What about Concussion?
I have no interest in that.
None.
Zero. Yeah.
Is it because Will Smith's accent?
No, I like Will Smith.
So 1 through 3, you go Hateful Eight, Star Wars, Concussion.
Actually, I haven't seen Creed yet, so I'll put that over Concussion.
Oh, okay.
I have no interest in Concussion. I'm not interested in the subject. The fact the NFL put its you-know-what in the middle of it, I'm not really...
Jung, rank those three.
What is it? Is a Concussion,
Concussion,
Star
Hateful
Wars.
Eight, and Star Wars in order of that you want to see them?
Concussion is last.
Okay.
I want to say... Man, I'll probably put Star Wars first.
Okay.
But I'm not expecting... I want to see it, but I'm not expecting too much because the last three weren't that great. So, I mean, I'll probably end up liking Hateful Eight better.
I know that's
But I want to watch Star Wars.
That looks so good.
There's almost zero chance that can disappoint me.
Yeah. Although, I will say the last three Star Wars all sucked except for once he turned evil. The last part of that third movie was as good as any Star Wars movies ever been, in my opinion.